Today we're going to look at John chapter 7. This is another change of scene. So we finished the bread sermon, the bread from heaven. And now we have another scene that takes place at another festival. This is the Festival of Booths, or the Festival of Sukkot. And in that festival, it's worth noting that there's lots of liturgy that has to do with water and a lot of liturgy that has to do with light. And you'll notice as the chapter goes on that Jesus will pick up on these themes of water and light. So we'll start in chapter 7, verse 1, going to read to 24. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feasts, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. The Jews were looking for him at the feast, saying, "Where is he?" And there was much muttering about him among the people, while some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, he is leading the people astray." Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So remember, Jesus left the temple. He left Judea after healing the man who was sick for 38 years, which was symbolic of bringing an end to the wilderness captivity and bringing the people into the promised land. And in that interchange, the leaders sought to kill Jesus because he said, "I am," right? He said that he is the one who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He equated himself with the Father. He made himself equal with the Father. So that's why they were seeking to kill him. So this is why Jesus is not walking openly in Judea, because the leadership there in Judea have a plot on his life, and he knows it. A few things. The brothers advise him to go, and they say, "Hey, you're doing all this great stuff. Why don't you show yourself openly?" I would compare this advice by the brothers, who the text says do not believe in Jesus, to the temptation of Satan to Jesus in other gospels, where he says, "Oh, go to the temple, throw yourself down, do this great sign, and everyone will believe." Basically, it is the temptation to have praise and popularity and acceptance by people. And notice all throughout, Jesus sees trying to be accepted by people and impress people on their own standards. He sees that as a satanic temptation. So his brothers here are basically encouraging him to get the praise of people. And that's because they don't believe in him. Jesus knows his time has not come, and his time is the time of the cross. That's the only public witness that he's willing to give, is of himself lifted up for the life of the world on the cross. He won't accept the praise of people except in terms of the cross. And then in this dialogue, he goes up to Jerusalem. So basically, he doesn't accept their advice. They say, "Show yourself openly." He goes up secretly. It's not that he was deceiving them. It's that he was rejecting their temptation, their advice to prove himself with spectacular miracles in order to be popular with people. When he goes to Jerusalem and begins teaching, notice again, there's much grumbling. And this is, once again, an Old Testament theme. They're grumbling about him. Some say he's a good man. Some say he's a bad man. None of them seem to really say he's the Messiah. So there's this grumbling because they can't understand Jesus. They can't get a hold of him. And note in particular, it says that they didn't do any of this discussion openly because they were afraid of the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem. And of course, Jesus begins his ministry, or he begins teaching, and they don't recognize him. They say, wow, this guy's impressive. And when he says, you seek to kill me, they don't get it, maybe because they don't know that the Jewish leadership has planned this, but maybe it's also because they didn't realize yet that this is the same guy that healed the man on the Sabbath. So the leadership say, who is this guy? I mean, how does he know all this stuff? He didn't go to our schools. And Jesus addresses this. He says, well, no, I didn't go to your schools because I am taught by my Father and I come to teach his teaching. Once again, that relationship that Jesus has with the Father is highlighted. And Jesus gives this sort of crucial way of evaluating his teaching. He says, well, listen, if your primary orientation in life is to secure your own place or to seek the praise of other people and to be popular and successful in people's eyes, then you're not going to be able to evaluate my teaching. But if, on the other hand, your primary desire is to say, God, I want to find out what you want and I want to do it. I want to live the way that you have taught that we should live. If that's your primary motivation, Jesus says you will be able to hear Jesus' teaching and go, man, that guy is speaking rightly and he is speaking well. So this is a really important theme that John has been laying out repeatedly, that the Father is always teaching, and that all over the world, I believe, and all times and places, people whose hearts are to find out what is right and to find out who God is, he teaches them. And again, Jesus gives this as a key for being able to tell whether his own teaching is right or not. And again, he says, you guys seek to kill me. And they're very confused by this until he says, he refers back to what happened in chapter 5. Look, guys, I healed a guy on the Sabbath and you are seeking to kill me for it. Well, you guys circumcise on the Sabbath. You cut a little piece of flesh away from a man on the Sabbath and you don't think that's a violation of the Sabbath. I make a man's whole body well, and wholeness and wellness and peace and flourishing is the whole point of the Sabbath. So once again, Jesus comes teaching them what the law is about and showing that he's fulfilling the law and that they're breaking the law by seeking to kill him, right? This is a clear violation of the commandments. And finally, in this section, he says, don't judge by appearances. And I would connect this with what was said in chapter 6 about the flesh. The flesh is human reasoning and human ability on its own, apart from God. And when it's on its own, apart from God, we judge things by appearances. We evaluate things by appearances. We look at Jesus and say, it's Joseph's brother. He's just a guy from Galilee. What's the big deal? But if we want to do God's will, if we desire to find out the truth, and if we ask for the help that God gives through the Holy Spirit, we can come to see Jesus as he is. And we can come to see even the law of the Old Testament. Sabbath is for flourishing. We come to be able to understand everything when our desire is to do God's will, when we ask for the gift of the Spirit, and when we learn to judge not by appearances, but by a right judgment that God gives us. And that judgment is that Jesus is the bread of heaven, that he is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, that he is the new Moses and the new Joshua leading the people of God into the promised land. So may we learn to not judge Jesus by appearances, one another by appearances, but may we, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, learn to judge rightly and perceive and discern rightly. Amen.